Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Ben Ferenz was a diminutive boy, son of a bootmaker, who spoke no English living in Hell's Kitchen. 25 years later, he's heading a legal team as a chief prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials. How did he get from here to there? And where did he then take his belief in international law and the responsibility of governments for their own war crimes? Well, Prosecuting Evil is the title of a new documentary that tells Ben Ferenz's story in his own voice. From the Nuremberg trials to the International Criminal Court, he narrates his own life in a series of interviews illustrated with ample period photos, news footage, and personal pictures and documents, supplemented by words from families, colleagues, and famous lawyers like Rosalie Abella and Fatou Bensouda. The film deals with justice on an international level. It's written and directed by award-winning Canadian producer and filmmaker Barry Avrich, known for both his documentaries and his film Shakespearean plays. Prosecuting Evil premiered at TIFF and is opening today in Toronto. And I'm very pleased to have Barry Avrich here in studio at CIUT to tell us more about Ben Ferenz and Prosecuting Evil. Hi, Barry. Thanks so much for coming in.
Anytime, Daniel.
So, how did a 27-year-old fresh out of law school, fresh from the army, young lawyer end up as a chief prosecutor at the subsequent Nuremberg trials?
Huge question. Ben Ferenz grew up in Hell's Kitchen in New York. This would be north of 9th Avenue, where he would be surrounded by crime. And as he says in the film, brilliantly and eloquently, he could have either been a criminal, you know, or a criminal lawyer. And he decided he was somewhat interested in juvenile crime and justice, and was a brilliant student. And who knew? Because as he says in the film, he was gifted, didn't know what that meant to be gifted, and then went on and kept applying for scholarships, got into Harvard, and became a specialist in war crimes, of which there was very little, because in the 40s, what war crimes were people studying? World War II, fast forward, the Holocaust, the Germans, the Nazis, the biggest trials ever of the century.
And he was in the army at the end of the war in Europe during the liberation of some of the camps.
He did. I mean, his job, the army said, look, get me somebody that understands war crimes. They know he went to Harvard. He had studied it. So in he went into the camps to look for evidence. And what happened was, which was history, is that as he was looking for evidence to support the convictions of the Nazis and for the crimes that they had committed, he found this unbelievable trove of evidence that suggested that there was one gang, a killing squad named the Eisengruppen Gang, that were responsible for murdering 1 million people.
So most of our knowledge of the Holocaust and World War II were concentration camps like Auschwitz, in which people were murdered and cremated in gas chambers, then cremated. But the Einsatzgruppen did something very different before all that. Could you describe what
the camps that the Germans created were very sophisticated. I mean, medical experiments, gassing, some very crude things as well. Eisengruppen were basically killing squads that went into the front line and just mowed down women and children and babies and anybody they can find and just murdered them with machine guns and just took them out. Dug pits, threw them in, covered them up, burned them, whatever it was. But they were just basically a roving killing squad through Eastern Europe. So, and they would have gone, for the most part, unconvicted, unchecked, unbalanced, until Ben found this book. The Germans were so good at documenting evidence, found this book that documented the deaths of more than 1 million. When he got to 1 million, he ran back to Berlin and said, we need a new trial. And the Americans and the Allies who were putting on the Nuremberg trial said, no, that's okay. We've had enough. The Germans have had enough. Nobody wants any more trials and beds. You can't let these people off. So they said to Ben, well, then you do it. You know, at 26, 27 years old, became the youngest prosecutor in history of the biggest murder trial in history.
Some of the people that Ben Ferenz tried in Nuremberg took an unusual defense. They didn't say they were just following orders. That's what we hear about. Instead, because they said they thought the communists were coming to destroy their country, all the killing they did, everything they did, was just self defense. And Ben Ferencz makes a comment in the film. He says, this sounds like something the Pentagon might say now. So I wonder if you could explain how he ties.
Well, I mean, the essence, I mean, this even goes further to the International Criminal Court, but the essence of the Germans using the excuse of it's self-defense versus they were just following orders is, of course, ludicrous. But, you know, they argue, and the Pentagon would argue as well, as they went in and invaded Iraq and saying, look, we were there, we had to go in and liberate the country, and so we were challenged by people and we had to kill them. The people the Eisen Group and were murdering were had no weapons. They were defenseless. They had no any kind of way of attacking. These were cold-blooded killers. So the fact that they were about to be invaded and that they would have a million helpless women and children attack them is outrageous.
Now, let's move on then to the International Criminal Court. What is it and why did he think it should happen?
Ben's mantra through his entire life, Daniel, was law over war. Let's try to settle things in court before we go to war with each other. And so he advocated, coming out of the Nuremberg trials, that this was the biggest lesson that we'd ever learned, that look, we basically dealt with the Nazis, or most of them, through a very calm and civil judicial process. So let's create an international criminal court to deal with these things as they come forward. You know, it took 40 years, close to 50 years, to finally get a court in operation and get going. So the International Criminal Court exists in The Hague to basically monitor countries that are acting above the law, invading other countries, creating war crimes. Now, you have to be signatory to the International Criminal Court to adhere to their policies, their rules, and their laws. There are many countries, over 109, that are signatory. However, the United States and many other countries are not, because they don't want to be held to a standard by another court, another country. And the reality is that if the United States were part of the International Criminal Court, then George Bush would have been tried and sent to prison for invading Iraq. So that'll probably never happen, which is the same reason why Ben Ferencz, even going into his 99th year, will never be given the Presidential Medal of Freedom. He should get the Nobel Peace Prize for what he's done. So he's a co-founder of the International Criminal Court. Took him his entire life, the most encouraged and encouraging person I've ever met.
And he must have been disappointed. From the way the film tells it, Clinton, on his last day in office, he does sign on to the international or approve.
He signs it.
On New Year's Eve,
You know, with a snowstorm in New York, he sends David Sheffer, his right hand, his head of war crimes, to New York, to the United Nations, to sign it. But it was never ratified. So the minute Bush comes in and Clinton's gone, Bush says, we're not signing anything. And that's the end of that. And it'll probably never happen, especially with Trump, you know, who wants to invade the world, including people trying to get over the border. So it'll never happen.
Did Canada sign it?
Yep.
I notice you have a Supreme Court Justice, Rosalie Abella.
Yes.
In it. Could you talk about her and other?
Well, you know, Rosie Abell, aside from the Canadian content of having
somebody that represents,
you know, our country.
This is a Canadian film, yeah.
It is a Canadian film made by a Canadian team. Rosie Abella, I've known her for a long time. She's a great advocate of human rights. She studied Ben Ferencz. When I called her and said I was making this film, she, you know, waxed poetically about him. And so there wasn't even a question that she'd be in the film. And she bookends the film quite beautifully. You know, she talks about the fact of how incredible work that he's done even at a young age, and then goes on to do these incredible things. So from Justice Abella to Alan Dershowitz, phenomenal legal minds weighing in on what Ben's contribution was and is.
So Ben Ferencz is 99 years old.
In his 99th year.
He's in his 98th.
He's 98.
Gonna be. Oh, sorry. Okay, Wikipedia is wrong.
Yes.
They call him 99.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, he's a young one. Still just 98.
Yes.
But what is it like? So you interviewed him one-on-one. He is a 90-minute film, and he's either his voice or his face is on camera almost the entire time. How long an interview was this?
Well, you know, Daniel, when I approached him to shoot the film, and I think he assumed it would be like a 60 minutes interview or 20 minute interview, or like you and I are having today, 15 minutes. It's all you're giving me today, which is robbery. But he basically said to me,
I'm just following orders.
Oh, there you go. I wouldn't use that. He basically said, sure, come on and let's do it. And when I got down there with two truckloads, 18-wheel trucks filled with equipment and seven cameras, he said, what is all this for? And I said, Ben, remember, we're going to shoot for 2 days, 8 hours a day. This is your life. This isn't 5 minutes. This is your entire life. And he said to me, we'll do it in one day. I said, Ben, it's impossible. We're covering world history here. I mean, if it was just Nuremberg, that's one thing, but it's everything. And he said, we'll do it. So we shot for 8 hours straight and we covered it all. The only thing I was missing was, you know, Ben does 100 push-ups a day and he swims 100 laps. So I said—
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I said, Ben,
I'm going to come back tomorrow when we'll do the swimming. He goes, no, let's go now. So off we went in this sort of retirement community that he lives in. He put on his Speedo and off we went to get in the water with him and watch him swim. And he, you know, he, and I have to tell you something, he is, you see him in the film in his bathing suit, he is fit.
Are you serious?
It's the greatest. I mean, aside from all the messages in this film, it's a message to people that are older. I'm always telling my mother, who's going to be 90, I said, this is glass half full. Keeps his mind active and his body active. And, you know, he met me in The Hague in March and showed up with a suitcase. And he's going to meet me in Liechtenstein next February. He is unbelievable, tireless.
He's smart as a whip. Like, he doesn't seem like to have lost anything.
Nothing, not
a
cell.
Yeah. One of the things is there's a scene of him in Nuremberg at the trial. He's very small. How tall is he?
5'4".
5'4" isn't that small. Okay. So he's not.
Might be a little less. Might be a little less than that, actually, because I come to think of it. He might be less than that. He might be closer to 5 feet. Yeah.
But he's short. Yeah.
He's short.
But it's very interesting. You have him standing on books in front of the podium talking to this nation and
talking to the nation, talking to the world. This was filmed, you know, may it please the court. I mean, it's the first time he's ever uttered words to a court.
When he's narrating, he speaks like someone from Brooklyn. But in that shot, he's speaking with a stentorian,
very elegant
tone, very elegant speech.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he took off the masks when he's talking to you.
Yeah. We had, you know,
he was 27.
I mean, even traveling together. I mean, we did a panel together. He has a sandwich while we're talking. He's the best.
And how did you meet him?
Well,
my
wife and daughter were watching 60 Minutes last May. And Leslie Stahl did a segment on him. And they yelled down to me, gotta see this guy. And I've done a lot of films involving older people. And so I saw it, was blown away, found his phone number, called him and said, Ben, you don't know who I am. I'm a documentary filmmaker, 45 films. I'd love to make a film about your life. And he went, so let's do it. You know, 3 weeks later, we were in Delray filming Ben Ferenc.
Incredible story.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for talking with me.
My absolute pleasure.
Barry Averich's Prosecuting Evil opens today in Toronto at the Rogers Hot Docs Cinema. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.